Joseph Z, it's great to have you here on Charisma, and we are live right now. It is 11:14 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for everybody that is watching right now. Let us know where you're watching from, because we want to maybe get involved and get engaged with you. If you have questions, if you have comments, put those in the chat, put those in the comments, and if it fits with what we're talking about, I'll try to bring those in there, and because we appreciate all that. But Joseph, it's great to have you here. We've talked many different times over the last year and a half or so since we first met. God's really connected us. Sure. And we appreciate that you really are speaking for the Lord in so many ways, in so many areas. And you just have such a humility as you do that as well. This year, you'd said earlier in the year that it was a do-over year.
That's right.
And yeah. I kind of want to start off with getting an update on that do-over year word and how you've seen that unfold since it's November 15th right now.
Oh, man. Well, John, first of all, thank you for having me. We love Charisma. I got to tell you what you're doing and the voice you have, you and Steve and everybody that's just speaking so mightily around the world and amplifying voices. I'm just really privileged to be a part of what you're doing. So thank you for having me today. As far as the do-over word goes, you know, I'll just get a running start at it. Back in 2015, I was in Trump Tower. I was in Trump Tower in 2015. Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, because I was asking him, who's going to win this? Is this the president that we're going to have? And he said, I've not graced you to know that, you know? And I said, okay, wow. Well, thank you, Lord. And why am I here, you know? But I began to ask him. He said, I've told other people, you'll know who, and you'll see what's going on. And I said, okay. And I said, so what's going to happen with America? And the Lord said, America will have one more round. It's not going down because the young lions are coming. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Mm. So we know what happened in 16. In 2020, I woke up early in the morning. The Lord showed me in two different visions that Trump would lose the 2020 election by a technology. Showed me through a technology he was going to lose. On the heels of that, I asked the Lord, you know, well, what's going to happen in 24? What are we going to do? Well, first of all, at the beginning of this year, at New Year's Eve even, going up to that, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is going to be a do-over year, a do-over year. And he spoke to me also and said, this is in the hands of the church. Whatever happens with the election is in the hands of the church. And again, I'd asked him, is Trump going to win? Who's going to win this election? And he kept saying to me, he will win if the church shows up. If the church did not show up, we would forfeit our grace and our mercy for where we were going and what the Lord was providing for us. And so, as I was looking at all this stuff, I got this word, it's a do-over year. So the do-over year represented both what took place in 16 and some of the things that took place in 20. In other words, Kamala was a part of that do-over word. He was facing another female candidate, just like he did with Hillary in 2015, 16, and that do-over word was there. Then we saw the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Then we see all these things that just start unfolding and compounding. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I do do-overs until my church wins. In other words, the battle's not over till we win. People say, how long do I got to go around this mountain? You keep going around the mountain till you win. You don't go around the mountain to just keep going around the mountain. He sets you up for victory. So I knew that the do-over word was here, that the Lord wanted to finish what he started. That involves Israel, Jerusalem. It involves so many things. There's a part two coming to Israel. So this do-over word, I also saw back in 2020, I saw Kamala's face and I saw Trump's face. Her face got prominent and his faded. And I knew she was going to be VP at that point. And I thought, oh no, God, you said a do-over word. Does that mean she's going to take this election? Is that what it means? Is Jezebel going to win? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and just began to say, no, you got to stand on this. You got to keep rising. And then that solar eclipse happened, John. And just to go into this very quickly, you know, the Lord had sent me, not only was I in a meeting and I heard the voice of God say, come up here, come up higher, Joseph, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Shortly on the heels of that, he sent me to the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado Springs. And I stood on the top of Pikes Peak. That is known as America's Mountain. So come up higher, go to the top of Pikes Peak. And in my ministry, many times God has me do prophetic acts. It's strange, but I do it. And I get to the top of Pikes Peak, and that is known as America's Mountain. It is the Purple Mountain Majesty in America the Beautiful, the actual location. From there, I went with Rick Renner to the seven churches of Revelation all over Turkey. I stood where the Apostle John stood at his home looking over the Temple of Artemis, where he would have stood in the mountains in Ephesus. And the Lord said to me, remember I said to you, come up higher, go to the top of Pike's Peak. Now you're standing where the Apostle John stood, John the Revelator, when I began to have him finish the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I thought, Lord, you're showing me some interesting things. And he began to speak to me about America and being a watchman and that there was a do-over coming. And finally, we ended up in the mountains of Ararat in eastern Armenia, eastern Turkey, right on the Iran border. We could see Iran, they could see us, and we're standing on what I truly believe, John, is Noah's Ark. I think it is Noah's Ark in the Derupanir site over in the mountains of Ararat. And I'm standing there, and I'm getting a word. As I'm touring this site, we're filming. I'm filming with Rick Renner at that location. And that is when the Lord spoke to me about 4 years of redemptive instability. I was at Noah's Ark, and he said, you know how Noah's Ark floated above the terrifying thing, the storm, the flood, the reset of all humanity? And the Lord said, so shall it be with the United States. I'm lifting you up above the storm with a redemptive instability, but it's for a good end. Mm. Now, I believe that is the do-over word. What has happened before will happen again, but now we've seen victory that it surpasses the victory that our president saw, you know, 8 years ago. And here we are looking at this, and I believe 8 is the number of new beginnings. 8 is the number where you begin to see something new taking place. And now I have this word about 4 years of redemptive instability, that it's going to take a lot of shaking, a lot of instability to get us to a point of redemption. And once again, this next 4 years is in the hands of the ecclesia and the church. And if we'll rise, I believe we're going to begin to see what Jesus talked about with the fig tree. And that's what I see happening.
All right. So you just said this morning.
A lot.
Yeah. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. And I know you you said that this morning God spoke to you about a word from Luke 13 about the fig tree. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But
okay.
You just laid out how all these things, how God brought all this word to you. And you've kind of you have the full word, and then how it all came together as well. So how have you seen these things unfold? You know, because some things didn't unfold the way that we thought we did. We thought they would. Because I know at the beginning of the year, when we first talked about this do-over word, this do-over year word, it was still Trump versus Biden. And it's interesting how it then changed to Trump versus a female. You know, so similar, it's still a do-over, but it's not the do-over that we originally thought.
That's right.
How, as you've seen things, you know, flow throughout this year, what have you learned in this process?
I've learned to trust the Lord, because the Lord spoke this to me. And if people have watched my program, you know, like they watch you guys, I've said multiple times, the Spirit of the Lord said, I'm going to surprise them all. I'm going to surprise everybody. And I really, the Lord got apprehended my attention mainly when that April 8th solar eclipse happened.
Yeah.
And ironically, John, on April the 8th is when I flew from Texas, actually, to Turkey. And we were there for 40 days. So 40 days after that solar eclipse, within 40 days of that, I was standing at Noah's Ark. So from the time of the solar eclipse, April the 8th, whatever the date landed on, I remember checking, and we were at Noah's Ark 40 days later. And so that is what I realized. God was speaking something, and he said to me at the beginning of the year, America will either experience Nineveh or fire, and it's a choice. So this do-over word didn't really look like a real do-over when you got Biden going on. And yes, he faced all these things before. But when Kamala took that seat of authority temporarily of the runner-up, that is when the do-over word got very strong for me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if America will humble itself and look to its former foundation, just even look to the former foundation, there will be a Nineveh experience. And the Lord spoke to me and said, America will either bow the knee by fire or by Nineveh. If they repent, they can repair. Or fire is coming, and they will bow the knee either way.
Yeah.
And the other thing they had to do is stand with Israel. But when she got in that place of power and standing with it, I realized that something good was going to take place. I started to sense it in my spirit. And then in June, I heard the words, the shot heard around the world. And then
right.
July 13th, the very morning, 8 hours before he took the bullet to the ear, 8 hours beforehand, that morning live, I said, I hear the shot heard around the world, and it's going to create a Paul Revere anointing. And that happened. So the do-over word, I believe, was fulfilled. You know, we know in part, we prophesy in part, that whole thing. But I believe we are headed towards a Nineveh experience here, and it's giving us 4 more years. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. So with these 4 more years, God spoke to you this morning, you told me, and you, this will be actually the first time that you've released this word.
That's correct.
So let's hear that.
Okay, John. So I get up, and this is how God speaks to me. Sometimes I wake up early in the morning and it comes subtle. Sometimes I see it written in the air. Sometimes I have a vision or a dream. And today it came like a word of knowledge to me. And I began to look at, you know, we're in 24, we're going on this 4-year cycle. Obviously, there's a presidential scenario we're walking into. So I woke up and the Lord began to remind me of Luke chapter 13. And then I saw 4 years. And then I saw the United States of America. Luke chapter 13 goes like this. Luke 13, it says in verse 6, he also spoke this parable. And I'll just read it very quickly. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Found none. Okay, verse 7. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, I can just go right here to the board here. Might help us a little bit.
Great.
It says, then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. So the word of the Lord was, cut it down. Something needs to happen. Something needs to change. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? Now, that would be the word that many voices are saying, and many people would be, you know, declaring in some negative prophetic camps, like, oh, it's judgment. It's over with. Cut it down, right? And so we're looking at this. It's cut it down with some of the words we heard from different people. Verse 8. Now it says, but he answered and said to him, sir, I believe this is the intervention of the church right here. This is the word I see for America. Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Now, when the Super Bowl was happening, and I know this is wild and I use these parallels, but sometimes God speaks to me through pop culture. There was an extension of a, what do you call that, overtime? They went into overtime for an extension, and they ended up winning in a season of overtime. And I heard the Lord say, I'm taking America from a time of grace to a time of mercy, and it's extended. I believe there was a 3-year pivotal moment where, symbolically with the scripture, people were looking at it and saying, we're done. You better buckle up. You better batten down the hatches. It's going to be over with. It's going to be terrible. Now, I know there's still going to be major challenging things that happen. But I saw this, and then I saw it go into this, but there was an intervention here. Sir, let it alone this year also. In other words, one more chance, God. One more round. Until I dig around it and fertilize it. Let me just absolutely pull all the stops out. I know this tree's not been bearing fruit. I know the way things have been terrible, and it's not right. But let's pull out all the stops and just fertilize the tree. Give it everything we got one more time. And if then it does not produce, well, then we're going to, as verse 9 says, and if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Now, I'll look right back at you. I believe this, John and everybody watching right now, I believe this, that the Spirit of the Lord is saying very clearly that there was this season where it was bad, bad, bad. My daughter, Allison Joy, my wife and I have our wonderful daughter, Allie, and she had a very clear vision, and we shared it, you know, days leading up to the election. She saw a building, and the building tipped left really hard, almost to the point it was going to break. And it was right at the point of destruction when suddenly there was an intervention, and it lunged all the way to the right, but only half as far. It only had to go half as far to get right-sized and turn normal. So left obviously represents something,
yes,
and right represents something. And then it right-sized, and then all the people in the building said, I can't believe this thing is still standing. And then they ushered in a battle-worn elephant. The elephant was coming, and this elephant came into the building, and it was full of dust, and it was beaten up and all that, and they were cleaning off the elephant and getting it ready, and the elephant was receiving a retrofit. So here's what I sensed, John, and what I heard this morning, is Luke 13 is talking about this parable of the fig tree. And the Lord said, so shall it be with America. I was reminded of the hurricane, the second hurricane that hit Florida. When that first hurricane hit, I was drawing on the whiteboard the area it was going to hit 8 days beforehand. I drew on the whiteboard, there's something coming in the Carolinas. It's going to strike right here. I didn't know it was a hurricane. It's going to create damage, all this. The second hurricane came. And when it came, the Lord said, pay attention to this. And when it came, it struck Florida. It was going to be a Category 5. It went down a little bit. And suddenly when it hit Florida, I know people that I knew were calling me. We were up all night. We were interceding against it. And it the news said that I got punched out of the hurricane. The wall collapsed, and it did minimal damage. It did damage, but minimal damage. And the Lord said, and that will be the United States of America if the church shows up. So wow. Here's what I believe is happening. What has happened and what will happen is this. The parable of this fig tree is where we are now. And I believe we now have 4 years to really rise with righteousness. The church do its job. The government do its job. All the sectors of society do its purpose. Because national repentance, because the Lord spoke to me that if the nation repents, it can repair. But nations repenting don't mean sackcloth and ashes like they once did and cry out to God, only, you know, and everybody gets born again in the nation. They need to go back to the divine purpose by which God made them in the first place.
Right.
In other words, America needs to go back to its constitutional foundation. It needs to go back to why the forefathers founded it. America is a Christian nation that has been hijacked by a bunch of liberal, wicked lizard overlord scumbags and the pervert mafia trying to run this thing into the ground. But what has happened now is we're seeing a resurgence and an act of mercy by God Almighty, and he's brought this. So here we are, Luke 13, the parable of the fig tree, I believe represents 4 years. We have 3 years to begin bearing fruit, and 4 years is an act of grace and extension of mercy that I believe by 2028, we're going to see a new America one way or the other. We're going to be in a new beginning one way or another. And if we rise to meet this occasion, and if the church will stand not only to empower the current administration, not just empower them, but hold their feet to the fire to make sure that they do promises kept to promises made. I believe if the church will rise up to do that, we will see this 4 years of fertilizer, everything going around the tree, and I believe it will not be cut down. It will start a new saga, a new beginning will take place, and we will go into another cycle where our children's children will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I believe we are staying off the apocalypse for another round if we do this word.
So we can either have fruit that remains or the apocalypse. Those are the two choices that we have. Goodness.
That's right.
So whenever you think about fruit that remains and, you know, the fertilizing the ground and this fig tree actually, you know, producing fruit, what do you think that would look like in this country for 2028 and beyond even? Like just, I mean, I'm not even saying prophetically, just kind of dream, like, what would this be like? You know, I actually had a dream during 2020 of it was nighttime and I was flying around the Statue of Liberty and the Statue of Liberty, it was a real flame that it was holding. And it was not just the whatever they have there now, whether it's stained glass or whatever, but it was like a real flame and it was almost like a sword. Like it was bigger than what's there. And from the hand, from that flame, it actually turned what we know as a green statue back into its original bronze and its original form. And it's something that I've been praying through. Cause I'm like, God, what does this mean? Cause obviously in 2020, that's when I received this. It was December 8th, 2020. And I'm like, okay, God, this didn't happen the way that I thought it would, but we're starting to see some of these things. But like with what you just said, fertilizing the ground and moving forward and that restoration, that just kind of triggered that memory of that dream. What do you see about, you know, just play with me a little bit and what do you see going forward do repent? Yeah.
I certainly have my own opinions and all these things, but aside from those, I do believe the Lord is saying it will be a retrofit. And you say, well, what does that mean? I believe America will be retrofitted if we go forward. So I believe we'll get the Reagan type of era back. I believe we're going to see some of that. I think the right sizing involves an economic miracle. I believe the Lord will do things that will absolutely astonish everyone. I believe we'll begin to see oil production like we've not seen before. I even have a word about AI. So everybody's talking about it's the Terminator coming, right? It's going to be terrible. I think that's very probable. I think that could be very dangerous. Yet in that, all these doom and gloom things that are coming with it, I have this sense of hope. The Lord is saying, who do you think really is in charge of the nations here? Who do you think really is in charge of all this stuff? And the bottom line is this, that even with AI and all of its nefarious potential, I sense very clearly that if we do our part and we rise up in the middle of this crooked and perverse generation, I believe even AI will serve the church for a season. I believe that there'll be holographic images where people can preach all over the world without leaving their studios or homes. I believe that we're going to have online conferences like we've never seen before in a virtual manner that will touch all of society, all of the culture globally. So I see a lot of things that God's doing in this space. I believe that we will see economic miracle resurgences. I believe we will put to death this woke, idiotic ideology, this demonic stuff. We're going to put it down. We're going to see a lot of these things that just begin to rise up, and I believe America will begin to get another round, but it'll be a retrofit. In other words, a lot of the good that was from the old with a brand new purpose from the new generation coming. There's going to be technological marvels. There's going to be things that are very challenging, and yet at the same time, we're going to find a new way. So it's going to be kind of like old souls with new tech, for a better way of saying it.
Okay.
In other words, people that want to return back to physical mail, people that want to, you know, go right back to writing letters like they once did, because, you know, there's a lot of young people that are saying, I got a letter. Look at this. They open the mail. They're like, look at this thing. Wow. And they're starting to reject some of this digital stuff and want something that's corporeal, something they can put their hands on. And they say, my goodness, this is amazing. And yet there will be this technological merging. So that's what I see. I see a retrofit. I see the younger generation, Generation Alpha, becoming like old souls, warrior class people that say, you know what? We're a lot like the World War II generation. We're a lot like people that stood up and we were builders. And I believe that is the Young Lions movement.
Interesting.
So that's what I see, John. If we do this 4 years right.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
So what are some of the key things that we need to do to get this 4 years right? I know the church needs to really be who God has called us to be. We can't sit back on the sidelines, and we got to continue to pray, fast, and do the things that God's called us to do. But what are some things that you believe that we should do as well? What are some action points?
Oh, absolutely. Here, let's get very practical.
Yes.
So on the individual level, like you're watching right now, our audience is watching, you're watching. I'm talking right to you as an individual who's watching, not everyone. I'm talking to you, the individual. Here's what you do. You discover who your tribe is, because when you find your people, you find your purpose. And when you find your purpose, you find your place in what I call the 21 gift spectrum of the body of Christ. There are 21 gifts. There's 9 manifestational, 7 motivational, and 5 governmental. Mm. And when you find your location in the body of Christ, now you're going to find your place in the tapestry. And when people find their place in the tapestry of the body of Christ, their purpose ignites with others, because other people need you, you need them. And when that happens, then it creates a ripple effect through the entire body of Christ. And we're going to begin to stand as what we're called to be and begin to bring proper order to this culture. And that applies to both people born again, not born again, all of it, in the church, the government, and the marketplace. But if you find your place, if you find your tribe, if you find your people, you'll find your purpose. And that's a huge piece to this. So practically speaking, yes, pray, fast, call out to God. We need to do that. But the sons of Issachar, John, it says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It says, the sons of Issachar, they knew the signs of the times. They knew what to do about it. But there's a third little known piece that people rarely talk about, and that is that their kings and their brethren were with them, or rather their leaders, their military folks were with them. There's 200 of them. And it says that their brethren were with them, meaning this: they not only could see what was going on and know what to do about it. A lot of people have the first two down. They can read the signs of the times. They can see it. They know what to do about it. We got a lot of armchair quarterback prophetic voices that are hanging out in their mom's basement saying, here's how it's going to be, you know, but they don't rightly align in the body. In other words, the third part of being a son of Issachar is you're rightly aligned with your brethren. You're aligned with those that you're called to be with. And when you find your tribal alignment, then you're going to begin to put order to things. So just as much as we pray and fast, you got to get with your people. You got to know who your people are. And that's why I like hanging with you, John. That's why we do stuff together. That's why voices are uniting. If things are too small, men fight. If it's big enough, we'll unite. But when you find your place in that unification, that's how we begin to bring real change here. Not just praying, being in the right location with your people.
Yeah. Being in the right location with your people, because we're not called to be alone in this, you know, like there, I mean, Jesus had his 12 disciples, you know, there's, you know, Paul had Barnabas, and, you know, he traveled with people, and there was a purpose for them being together. And you can encourage each other and lift each other up whenever you're down. And that's always, it's always a good thing. And so I heard if somebody, there's a great old quote that it says, if you want to get somewhere fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. So in order for us to actually go far and not just burn out quickly, like sprinting, then we need to go together. And so that, I think that's a word for the church, is that, Amen. You know, there's a lot of division amongst different churches. Unfortunately, there's a lot of that spirit of competition there, which I hate, but it is so true. Because we have our own little fiefdoms as churches. And that's not a good thing, because we're supposed to be in the kingdom of God, and we're just stewards of his kingdom. So if we can come together, then we're going to be able to go far and see what you were just talking about, this fig tree fertilized.
I believe this too, and this is something important. This is for our audience, because you and I are very much in the charismatic, supernatural space. I believe God is also bringing a right sizing to the prophetic. He's bringing a right sizing to many of these areas where the sensational is going to kind of go to the wayside, and results-based prophecy is going to take the main step up. And, Amen. You know, because a lot of people, they're looking for the sensational and they're missing the spirit. When people look for the sensational, which I enjoy sensational. If if God wants to turn all our teeth platinum and knock us on the ground and gold dust is flying like a hurricane, I'm in. But the bottom line is it just better have results when it's done. And even if it doesn't, if God wants to do it, I'm in.
Yeah.
But I think our focus should be that we emphasize results-based ministry, results-based prophecy, and this crazy word that we've got to add to the mix. It's an H word, and it starts with an H, and it plays out with humility. and we need to have that in the prophetic. And I'm thinking of this because, you know, 2 Corinthians 11, John, and you know this scripture, but it talks about such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. But it says, and it's predicated on it, because it says in verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And I believe there's a lot of people that in these sensational desires to see things and predict every outcome and do all this stuff, which if God shows us, we should. Mm-hmm. But really, when you stretch too far into what is not written,
right. What
can happen is the devil can deceive you as an angel of light. And that can happen to believers and unbelievers if we're not really in the Word of God. And I'll just say this piece here. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, learn from us to not go beyond what is written. Mm. And when you get a hold of not going beyond what is written, you're not going to be deceived. You become a lover of the truth. And I'll tell you what takes place then is you'll begin to absolutely elevate in what God's called you to do. And as a whole, the body of Christ will get healthier, and we can absolutely have love for one another. And I believe there will be no deception among us if we just become lovers of the Word of God. With these gifts. I just really want to say that, because I believe people are so looking for what's going to happen next. They have, what do you call it? Like a prediction addiction, and they want to know what's coming. And I believe in that, and God shows us, but prophets, hear me. And I love you. You know, I'm in this space, and I say this to myself and you, but hear me. If you haven't seen it and you haven't truly dreamt it, and it's not really what God's showing you, please say only what you've seen, and then take it through the lens of the scripture, and you're going to keep yourself safe and others safe too.
That's a great word, Joseph. You know, especially in this season right now, I think because of elections, there's a lot of extra prophetic things or prophetic. Mania. there's a mania going on for sure. Yeah. And, things have been kind of trending recently, and this is a good segue into a side topic here. But there has been a lot of extra biblical, or not extra biblical, not like that they're more biblical, but they're outside of the Bible. They're outside of the normal prophetic, where you've had the Hopi Indian prophecy about the man with the red hat coming to help bring rightness and, you know, reclaim the land. Right. You have the Cliff Hyde predictive language model thing back in 2009, where he said that, you know, aliens were going to invade basically 39 days after this trigger event of Joe Rogan interviewing Donald Trump. Wow. Now that prediction was made before Joe Rogan even had a podcast in 2009. And so that just kind of makes you wonder. And yesterday, as we're recording this live on the 15th, yesterday was the UAP hearing. Right. And so there's a lot of strange things that are happening there. But I love what you said, that you need to just, when God says something to you and you feel that this is God, write it down. Yeah. Don't add to it. and compare it with the word. Whenever we see some of these extra biblical outside of the Bible prophecies, how do we deal with those things, especially if parts of them seem to be coming true?
Well, that's such a great question, John, and I'm gonna jump right into this because I think this is going to help people. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. So we've had everybody from the Oracle of Delphi to the Nostradamuses to all these people. Even people have done things where horses, you know, they thought horses were psychic back in the day. They'd test a horse and it'd clack its foot, you know, for, you know, predicting things. And so people do that. Or even all the way to Groundhog's Day and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So people have this innately in their fabric of their being where they just have a spooky, mystical thought process. That's why people get into horoscopes. That's why people get into all this stuff. The bottom line is this: even the stars speak of the glory of God, and that's been perverted with all the, you know, the stuff we see.
And astrology,
That's right. The bottom line is when people are looking for these things, it's because it's like that U2 song, that old song that says, "I have run, I have climbed, right? I have," and it says, "but I still haven't found what I'm looking for." And the bottom line is every person ever created or born is looking for the answer. They're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's all these counterfeits out there. So can people that are not born again make predictions and they come to pass? The answer is a resounding yes. They can, because they're human beings. They're made in the image and likeness of God. They might be only his creation, not his children, but they still have that DNA. They still got that fabric in them. So even unbelievers can have a prophetic gift in them that is unredeemed, used by demons. Therefore, it's more psychic and it's a mess, but it is a gift from God built in their DNA. Sometimes people have that. So what you see is the fabric of creation and reality all declares the glory of God. And when people pervert that or they tap into it through the wrong lens with a wrong compunction, they got a demonic unction on it, they'll begin to look at it through that and they'll begin to interpret things. They can actually find truth. They can find facts, but they'll be ever learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth, the way, the life. And so what is happening is yes, as far as like people say, well, I've seen this, therefore we have the truth. Big deal. Even a blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then. You got to recognize that when people are going through this kind of stuff, yes, there's going to be accurate things and demonic powers, just like the slave girl that was prophesying, right? Prophesying to Paul. And finally, he turned around being greatly annoyed and said, "Come out of her in Jesus' name." But she was saying true things.
Yeah.
She was saying, "Follow these men of God. Listen to them. They're telling you the truth." You know? And I've always been
confused by that, because why would a demon say to, you know, say, "Follow Paul, follow his teachings"? Why would a demon say that? I don't know.
They weren't declaring Jesus Christ as Lord, but they were close enough to the truth to continue getting attention, but not landing at Jesus Christ as Lord. Reject pagan gods and come to Jesus. That's not what the demon was saying, but it was staying close enough to the action to get attention. That's what the spirit of Jezebel does in the book of Revelation also. Close enough to the action to still get attention and stay in control. And people aren't quite sure what's operating there. And you recognize that over and over again. How about when, Saul, and he went to the witch of Endor and pulled up Samuel out of the abyss? The bottom line is, I think that really was Samuel. I think things were really happening. There are powers that people can do. Now, that's Old Testament, just for everybody here. You can't do that in the New Testament. Jesus Christ went down there, emptied out that location.
Right.
He fixed that mess. We can't mess in that stuff. But the bottom line is there are powers that people have as free moral agents, human beings is what I'm talking about, and they can do things if they step into these realms we're not supposed to go into, because there's a touch of God on every person. And if they don't find Jesus, they can authorize things in the natural, including this UFO mess, including alien activity, including demonic things from the other side of the veil. Humanity can tear the veil, like it talks about in Revelation 9, where it's going to open up the bottomless pit. I personally believe things like CERN and things like these scientific experiments is no different than the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, where humanity said, "We will do these things." And the bottom line is, they can. They can rebel against God and allow some of these things as free moral agents, because we have physical bodies, we have natural authority to open up and give permission to spiritual beings to come into the natural. It's the same reason Jesus had to be born of a virgin. So my point is this, is can they predict things? Yes. Can they see things? Can they see things that are legitimate? Yes. even Pilate's wife had a dream about Jesus. Stay away right. from that man, she said, right? Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is people have these experiences, but ultimately, angels of light can step into that category, begin to deceive those who have real experiences or even real gifting without Jesus and without the Word of God as our bedrock. And then you add that element of being a lover of the truth. You must love the truth. If you're a lover of the truth and you're in the Word of God and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord, no matter who predicts what, bippity boppity boo, they're not going to be able to land what God's really saying. They'll begin to say all kinds of things. And even Christians will fall for it if they're carnal. And that's why we got to keep preaching this Bible, John. And I so appreciate you because you do that. And if we're lovers of the truth, meaning there's only one thing that gives us the truth, and we stand on this, and then we get prophetic words and we run it through the truth with a love of the truth, you'll never be deceived. It's impossible.
Yeah, that is so good. Thank you for bringing some clarification to that. I love how you explained about how, yes, these things are they are legitimate, but they're not yep. from God. I mean, we are made in God's image, but that's the difference between creation and children. I thought that was so key there.
That's good, John.
Before we wrap up, I know there's a big fight tonight between Mike Tyson and another guy, yes. Jake Paul, which is very interesting. But God gave you a word about that, and I don't want to miss this opportunity to kind of recap that and hear what you have to say.
Yeah, John, I'll share what I know. And we know in part we prophesy in part, but in 2020, here's the word I got. And I'm not trying to make a prediction here because I don't want to get everybody going because there's no upside to this prediction.
Yeah.
If this is the case. But in 2020, I got done with a New Year's Eve service. I walked into a back room where many of my leaders and many people were. And I have a lot of this date stamped, and I've said this over the years, so we have it live so people know this. Mm-hmm. I walked in the room, and I saw a vision suddenly. I said, it came out of my mouth, a heavyweight champion or a heavyweight fighter is going to come out of retirement and contend, and there's going to be death involved. I saw death. I thought, what in the world? And so I shared it, and people back then started messaging me because shortly on the heels of that, Tyson came out, and he was, I don't know if it was Roy Jones or who he was fighting at the time, but he came out, and he was doing basically a non-sanctioned fight with a former heavyweight also, and came out, and people were like, is he going to die? What's happening here? And I just said, I don't know. I saw that. And so here we are in a do-over year. We're seeing these things happen. I believe this, regardless of if that is him or if this is all going to take place, I believe either way the word is that we're seeing a generational collision that precedes the spirit of Elijah. Because the word of the Lord is that the spirit of Elijah comes to bring the hearts of the father and the children back together. And sometimes there has to be a schooling that takes place first. So I believe it has to do with generations. I believe we're going to see an outcome here, and I'm still praying through that. And I pray safety over Iron Mike, and I pray safety over Jake. I don't want anybody harmed, but I did see that in 2020. I don't know if it applies to this. If it does, I need to pray and see what the Lord is really saying next.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned about a generational thing. And so there's a generational shift in this post-election world now too.
There is.
I know God's spoken to you about the generations there. Can we just kind of end on this note here?
For sure, John. Well, the generational shift is this. I believe that when the spirit of Elijah comes, reformers always come on the heels of darkness that has overreached and continued to sow darkness and sow some more. Ahab and Jezebel sowed wickedness and sowed darkness unashamedly, unabashedly. They just kept sowing and sowing and doing wickedness and violating the Lord God Almighty, and they kept doing it. And when darkness continues to sow, without any turn, without any repentance, without any concern, without any blushing. Jezebel never blushed. They got to the point that they sowed, and when you do that, eventually darkness will reap. And what darkness reaps when it continues to sow is a reformer. And what happened with Jezebel and Ahab, they pushed so hard that they finally reaped Elijah. And I believe Elijah comes and he brings a generational merging, because the end cannot come until the spirit of Elijah comes and merges the hearts of the fathers back to the hearts of the children. And I believe very clearly we are stepping into that time frame where the spirit of Elijah of reformation in every generation gets a reformer. they get their opportunity. We're stepping into the spirit of Elijah right now, where there's going to be a generational merging, meaning the old and the young working together. The book of Proverbs says the glory of young men is their strength, and the glory of old men is their gray hair. You put that together, you have wisdom with momentum. You have wisdom with results. And I believe God is saying that is the spirit of Elijah. He's trying to bring that onto the scene before the end. And that is just what Bible teaches us. So that's what I see as a generational merging coming, yeah. John.
That's very encouraging, because I feel like I'm starting to get some gray hairs in different places, and but I'm still strong. I'm still in the strong, but yeah. So I'm starting to get dreams, and I'm still getting visions. So I'm turning 40 in January, but yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. But Joseph, there's so many more things I'd like to talk to you about, but I know our time is short here today. But thank you so much for going live with me and talking about this spiritual environment that we're in right now, especially with what God has spoken to you in the past and how we've seen that unfold in this year. And I know that there's more things to come, but you've given us a lot of hope to look forward to, say, this do-over year is looking good. Let's fertilize this ground and let's get ready for this next season, because we got to take care of what God's given us. This is a window of opportunity that we can't miss. Would you pray for us, for everybody that's been watching?
I'll leave you with this thought too. You know, darkness doesn't want to go out quietly. These wicked lizard overlords and all the stuff they want to do, they want to bring evil forward, and they want to do it. They are not going to go peacefully. But if we keep rising, it'll be just like the blue line and the red line. In the middle of the night, the blue line popped up at about 3 a.m, and it tried to meet the red line, but there was just too much of us. We overcame it. And I believe that is happening in the spirit. If we keep rising, no matter what they try, we'll overcome it. Now, I'd love to pray. Father, I bless every viewer right now. I come into agreement with John and all the audience today, everybody who's watching us live. We bless you. Listen to me. God is with you. On a bad day, you are anointed to be the very best there is. God has called you. He's causing you to shine in the middle of a dark time. Galatians 1:4 says that it is the will of God that you be delivered from this present evil age. So, Lord, we rise up in the will of God, and we say, Lord, thank you for your delivering power. Thank you for what you've done in our nation. Thank you that we've got one more round. Thank you, Lord, that even as darkness tries to respond, we are the red church, the blood-bought believers, and we know how to stand against this nefarious power. And let me say something right to you who are watching right now. You are going to be okay. You're going to be okay. God is with you, and Jesus wants you to win even more than you do. He wants you to rise and shine even more than you want it. He wants you to find your tribal alignment even more than you want it. He wants this nation and all the nations rescued even more than they do. God is not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering, and that's why the end hasn't come suddenly, because he's waiting on the church to continue rising. All creation is groaning and waiting for you. So I bless you in Jesus' name. I speak life over you, and God is with you. Don't you be afraid. Keep watching. Keep discerning, because Jesus is coming soon. I love you, John.
Love you too, Joseph. Thank you, everybody, for watching. And stay tuned to Charisma Media YouTube and Facebook. Make sure you like and subscribe. Share this with friends and family. And follow Joseph Z. If you're not following him already, you need to do that. He puts out videos all the time of what God is saying prophetically, so that we can be called to action. So follow Joseph, subscribe to his channel, subscribe to Charisma Media, and we'll see you again next time. Thanks, and God bless.